boy, oh boy, oh boy. Shit. Yeah. Fucking shit. Fucking shit. Fucking shit. Well, that's my knee. I'm just immediately thinking, my knee says that we swear too much, and I immediately swear seven times. I'm still a little loopy about this about this thing, Jake. We had planned mea culpa. We had this off season stuck up on us a little bit. I haven't, you know, I'm a young parent. Things are going crazy. It's been a month and a bit since the Jays got knocked out. We were planning on doing our okay, it's the off season. What next podcast? Literally tomorrow or the weekend. Your anniversary is tomorrow, right?
It is. Yes.
So we had pushed. We said okay, not weekend. Pardon me, not Thursday. We'll try to get it out on the weekend. And then this morning, as I'm hosting twice a week, I have to host like a basically a company-wide meeting at my work to sort of.
Oh yeah, how did that go?
I had a melt. I know my coworkers well enough that I like had a half meltdown on screen and was like, well, I gotta be honest with you, Teoscar Hernandez just got traded, and I'm not gonna handle it well for the rest of the day. Sort of like, honestly, is the first time. It's so funny. It's the first time my coworker. I've been there since March. First time my coworkers have really seen that version of me, where it's like, because. You know, and one of them remarked, it was like, they lost a heartbreaking game in the playoffs and you weren't like this. But this is way different. And this is why, for me, transactions are number one thing in sports. The panic of a bad transaction is such a different feeling than the heartbreaking loss. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. Especially, I mean, we'll get into our actual thoughts on the deal proper in a bit, but to that point, I also think the timing, like the fact this was the first move of the offseason,
yes,
I think really and like I understand that like you can't choose the order that things
of course done. yeah
and but to your point of, you know, a bad loss versus a bad trade, so to speak, I think with a bad loss comes the off-season anticipation and
right.
trades and deals and how can they get better for next year. And then when the first move is this,
it sucks.
It just saps the energy for everything.
So yeah, I'm going to pedal a little bit in this episode. I'm going to do my best to pedal into like. Obviously, there's also always going to be a degree of talking myself into these things, and this is not a move. We are being told basically by them, and you sort of can read into it, that this is probably not a move in isolation, right? They're probably curbing this with adding in a different way, and you know, you want to talk about the bullshit like reallocating the spending, or even I think even positionally how it opens up right field, because you're probably going to move Springer over there at least part of the time going forward. It is on its face, unless you're super low on Teoscar and super high on Eric Swanson, it's a like you've almost voluntarily lost the trade. And when you go to trade Teoscar Hernandez in his year before free agency, you're almost admitting anybody you trade him for, you're losing the trade, right? Because because of the fact that he only has 1 year of control and all that, you're never gonna get like Teoscar Hernandez back for Teoscar Hernandez, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. And I also think that you're right. I think there's two ways to sort of break this down, so to speak. There is the way that we feel about it, both personally and from a baseball perspective. And then there's also the way to look at it of, like, the big picture. As you
said. Big picture. Yes. Yes. Right. So let's start with the first one, which is pretty unequivocally for me, and not to no surprise. I think it sucks, and I am very sad about it. I love Teoscar Hernandez. I've said many times on this show, Teoscar Hernandez sort of represents what I love about baseball so much, in that you have a guy that is a joy to be around, and is a lot of his teammates' favorite teammates, and sort of always had these fatal flaws that kept him from being an all-star, and managed to figure them out and shave off just enough of the problems. Like, he was just good enough in right field. He struck out a lot, but he struck out just few enough times that he could be an all-star if everything else worked and he just shaved that down and stayed himself the rest of the way, he could be an all-star. And he did do it. And like, really, what an incredible story to have him here for the last, crazy enough, parts of six seasons with the Blue Jays. That's, isn't that crazy? With 6 years of Teoscar Hernandez, you know, was a, the last 3 years especially, was one of the best hitters in the American League. Was my favorite, like, you know, really came into his own. The 2020, the COVID year, was, I was like, man, he might be the AL MVP. Like, it was crazy. He was incredible, you know, all the way up into being an all-star last year. Pardon me, in 2021. I keep calling 2021 last year. But we're done with 2022, so it's not last year. But just an incredible journey, and a guy that I think the easy comparison a lot of people made was Edwin Encarnacion, where it was like the defensive issue was like so glaring, and then they moved him to DH, and he became this incredible hitter. He was always an above average hitter with the Jays, but he turned into a really great one once he smoothed things out, and, you know, will leave his Jays legacy as a 121 OPS guy, as a guy with an 819 overall OPS, averaged a ton of home runs, hit 32 in 2021, and his 162 game average remains to be like a 30-100 guy, basically. Can't forget the sprint speed, of course, but just a guy that I'm going to miss having around, and a guy that I'm going to miss cheering for, because I loved the story, I loved the fit. I thought he was sort of, you know, we spent so much time the last 2 years talking about vibes. He seemed like the guy that was built around, and the guy that was bringing that, and the guy that was helping the young kids sort of be themselves at the big league level and find that success. So I'm really going to miss him. And not only from that, but as you mentioned, sort of like the on paper, before we get into the specifics and talk ourselves into it part of it, the optics of trading an all-star right fielder who's one of the best hitters in the league for any reliever at all, doesn't matter who the reliever is, trading an outfielder for a reliever is always going to feel like a bad move to me. It doesn't even matter what Eric Swanson is. Trading the all-star outfielder for a reliever makes me nervous, and I get very nervous no matter how good. People obviously more analytically inclined to us are going to rush to Baseball Savant and give you all the red circles. That's all well and good. I've seen it a million times. How many times does it take for a reliever to look bad the next year, and then suddenly he's not on the roster? Like, it's just such a quick thing, and the years before that were not particularly great. So I hope he plays, pitches well, and we wanted bullpen help, and we wanted swing and miss. It's not the prototypical 100-mile-an-hour guy, but the market is changing, and those guys are becoming more expensive. All of that I understand, but going to be extremely hard for me to say goodbye to Teoscar Hernandez. Extremely hard to me right now, and I'm going to give them, obviously, we give them the rest of the offseason. It's not even November. It's November 16th, so it's like, you know, Bryce Harper didn't sign that 1 year until March or February, I don't think. So obviously tons of time left. I think the Springer thing was January. Very long offseason, but at this exact moment, it's hard to look at the lineup and be like, they're a better team than they were last year. If you are somebody whose fuel is like Ross and Mark are shooting for mediocrity and 90 wins is the goal, not 100 wins, you probably don't feel great today. Or you feel vindicated. That being said, obviously Swanson a good reliever, but going to be very hard. Very, very hard for me to be happy about the fact that the next year when they push for it all in, if that's what they're going to do, they're doing it without Teoscar. It feels pretty tough to say that's an upgrade no matter who they bring in.
Yeah. I think where I will start is, you said a few times in there our usual sort of motif for trades is, here's all the things we hate about it, and now let's talk ourselves into it.
Yeah.
I don't think I can talk myself into this one. I think it is, yes, obviously, hopefully, it is step one of many moves to come to sort of patch this up over the offseason, and that's fine. And it should be, and I don't expect this to be the only move, yada, 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 yada. That aside, if you can talk all you want about Teoscar only having 1 year left, and then they lose him for nothing, and that's fine. But, and you know, Ross Atkins said today that this was the best return they found,
mm-hmm.
which again, maybe, you know, it might be the best return that was offered to them, and that's also fine. But the other thing is you don't have to make the trade in that case. And if you're in win now mode, which if you're not now, then when are you? Then I don't think this makes any sense. I think you can point to Swanson's numbers last year all you like. And undeniably, his numbers last year were very good. However, how many relievers have we seen that have a great year and then are not great the next year? We have several of them on the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
He's never had a year like that before, which, granted, he's only had 4 years in the league, so it's not like it's not a big enough career to call it a full aberration, but there's warning signs there. 2 years ago, his ERA was over 12. Yeah. And I know 2 years ago was a cursed season we don't talk about, but still. And like he might be good. He might be a good piece for the bullpen. I'm not saying that just looking at Swanson in a vacuum is a bad pickup. But we don't exist in a vacuum.
Right.
And you're losing a perennial 30, 35 home run bat in the outfield. And I don't think that's as easy to replace as it's being made out to be. And I get it in the sense of they want to diversify the lineup and they have a lot of guys do the same thing and yada, yada, yada. But I don't think Teoscar is one of those guys. Like, I agree that there is a, you know, I don't have as much stock in the righty lefty things I think a lot of people do, which I don't know if that's right or wrong. Uh-huh. But what I do think the Blue Jays need to diversify is they have a lot of guys whose approach is exactly the same. Springer, Bo, Vlad, Lourdes, all love to just get up and hack. And, you know, I at the game two of the wild card this year, I counted it, and it was like Springer had, it was something like Springer had took eight pitches for him to take a pitch in the second wild card game. All swings or fouls or whatever. And that can work, and we've seen it work. I'm not saying, like, Springer, Bo, and Vlad are bad hitters, of course. But I didn't never really found Teoscar was part of the just let it fly group. And to me, he did bring diversity to the lineup just because he wasn't that. You know, he chased bad pitches, of course, but who doesn't? But
yeah,
I just don't see how you can be a win now team and make another move where yet again it's a bullpen move that's like that hinges on a big if.
Right.
And it seems like every year we go into the bullpen being like, if X stays healthy, if Y just puts it together, then the bullpen could be great. And I'm not saying Swanson is necessarily your Nate Pearson's or Julian Merriweather's, but it's another guy that's not like lights out great. And obviously it's not as easy to go find those guys as that. And you have to have a bunch of what-if guys in the bullpen. But you don't have to trade Teoscar Hernandez for them.
You certainly wouldn't think so. And, yeah, some great points in there. I think the one thing that I'm sort of been stuck on as well as sort of the situation the Mariners are in and sort of the key to success, it feels like, with these guys, these bullpen guys, is to be creating the Eric Swansons, not trading for the Eric Swansons, if that makes sense, right? Is part of the reason Seattle gets to have this ripoff trade is that, you know, every team in the league now is looking for the 100-mile-an-hour strikeout, swing and miss, and the like. That's become what everybody's looking for all the time. So Seattle was able to make a couple of those happen and are now able to cash in. With you know, a trade that certainly favors them. They're certainly going to be happy, I think, to have Teoscar Hernandez, again, a middle-of-the-order lineup guy for a, let's be frank, medium leverage reliever. Like
and he's not Swanson, even a 90-99 swing and miss guy.
Swanson was very good last year, but like also wasn't their closer, also wasn't the guy they went to in the absolute biggest spots. Like this, didn't pitch once against the Blue Jays in a two like playoff games. you know, they went and in the big spots against Houston, they went to Robbie Ray against Jordan. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah,
there is this strange, like, if he's such this incredible reliever, why wasn't he the go-to guy for the Mariners?
Right. If this was for Munoz, we're having a different conversation.
Boy, so it's tough in that way, because I really do think that, you know, I think Anthony Bass is another example of sort of, you know, he goes and they have him here and he's okay. And then he goes to Miami, right? And he's incredible. And then the Blue Jays have to pay to bring him back, right?
Yeah.
The key is to identify the Anthony Basses and turn them into the Anthony Bass that becomes that player on the other team. So you're not shedding, even if it's small prospects like it is for Bass, so you're not shedding small pieces. So you're not shedding small things of value that you can get. What are they? Jordan Groshans, for God's sakes. Like, you know, a guy that they had probably had got bigger value for before. So it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. Like, you know, the ultimate point, it's very hard. They said that they think they can sort of piece together the Teoscar production. I don't know how easy that's going to be. There aren't all guys that have had that production.
And not
you
only,
know, there was, they were talking about, like, Nimmo, but we could talk about other guys that are coming in. But I just think, not gonna be that easy. They're gonna go get a guy who can play center field and hit most of the way as well as Teoscar Hernandez. It's like, that's not a lot of guys that fit that description in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah, like, to me, it feels like there's no lessons learned by this front office, and that I feel like we have to caveat this every time because some fucking water carrier is gonna get on our case about it. But, like, this does not discredit all the good moves they've made.
Certainly not.
But there is a pattern with this front office and how they approach things that is becoming consistent. And that is this lesson that has now cost the Blue Jays the playoffs 2 years in a row. It's this lesson of building this bullpen around what ifs. And, you know, 2 years ago, which now it's looking, let's be honest, it's really looking like 2021 was the year at this point, as we sit right here.
Tough scene.
That year was railroaded by, you know, having Tanner Roark around, having, what's his name? Chatwood around, having...
Yeah, Dolis.
That, and they missed playoffs by one game. Last year, a full bullpen collapse when you absolutely can't have a bullpen collapse because you didn't have a guy to go out there and just, like, throw 99 and get somebody out, which Seattle did. And they did it quite well, especially in that game one.
And they did it well enough to not need to use Swanson in those games. I cannot say enough.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. For all you're saying about Seattle's bullpen, this guy was in that bullpen and didn't get used in those games. But go on.
No, exactly. And that's what I mean. He's not a guy that you're like, great, we got him, he's go-to. It's a big spot in the playoffs, we're going to Swanson. That's not who he is. Doesn't make him a bad pitcher, but it makes it a bad move. And now we're going into, obviously, with the giant caveat of there's 3 more months of transactions. But at this moment, which is all we can look at because we're not soothsayers, at this moment, once again, it appears to me that the bullpen strategy, not necessarily the team building strategy, but the bullpen strategy, is another guy who's just like, good, maybe, we'll see. And that just keeps burning us. And I mean, a lot of the bitterness, other than just losing Teoscar, who you and I both love.
Adore. Truly hugely. Adore.
Outside of that, it's another bad Atkins presser, which, like, he's got to stop being allowed to speak after these. The whole, like, we shed some salary, but we didn't actually need to. It's just like, well, right. Why'd you do it? And also, I think that it's just, it feels like, I don't think this is necessarily true in a way, but it sort of feels like the team, it's almost like they're afraid to be, like, insanely good.
Mm.
So, it's like, yeah. It's not that, and I don't think that they're sitting around being like, oh, we can't be that good, but there seems like you look at a team like the Dodgers, who are just like, well, let's just go get everybody and just be amazing. And, like, sure, they didn't win, but they won so many games. Or look at the Phillies. So it was like, we have Bryce Harper, let's also go get Kyle Schwarber.
And Nick Castellanos.
And Nick Castellanos. And it's just...
Zach Wheeler.
Yeah. It just kind of feels like the Jays... If you want to make a tier list of the majors, it's like the Jays are afraid to move themselves into the top tier. And I don't know if that's a money issue. I don't know if, like... I don't really buy the Rogers grumblings about keeping the team cheap, because I just don't think that's true anymore based on the contracts they're throwing out. But there's something that keeps them from just being like, well, let's just get everybody. Let's go trade for bullpen guys the level of Swanson, but also keep the Teoscars.
So how do you, I guess, so a couple points. Let's start with the bullpen built on an if, sort of, I understand. I think I'm almost worried that they're trying to swing too hard the other way, where they're looking at, if you look at the numbers and now you're saying, okay, it's
like overvaluing.
You have a four-headed thing of Swanson and Romano and Bass and Garcia, where it's like, yeah, that's four guys that you may not have, other than Romano, the we're going to this guy in the ninth inning thing. You sort of get into it where it's like you can't, there's no bad option to go to, right? It's sort of, instead of having the one stopper, you have three guys, four guys that you go to, and you're like, well, I trust him against anybody, sort of thing. The counter to that I sort of can't shake is you just have no idea year to year. Yeah. The guys I just named, Bass and Garcia, it's like, I've had their times where they were and weren't reliable. Romano, as great as he was a Rule 5 candidate not that long ago. These relievers, it just sort of, it comes and goes, and then it's gone. So
a guy like Adam Simber, who I like.
Right.
But like, he was unbelievable in 2021, and then last year he was okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's a volatile job.
For sure. And then I guess the other thing is, you know, trading for the Eric Swansons without giving up the Teoscar Hernandez clearly it doesn't work that way, because this is where the league has Teoscar Hernandez valued. It's tough, that stupid, you know, that stuff that I don't like to, you know, talk too much about. Before you talk about player assets and as value and sort of how the contracts play into it, it obviously lessens his value quite a bit. Seattle getting what they think is a year, and obviously the chance to work out an extension now with him, versus. I mean, you can say years of control, but it's like, he's a 29-year-old reliever. Like, his,
don't forget, they got a guy who hasn't pitched above high A,
and who has less innings than Pearson since 2019. It's tough. So if you wanted to talk yourself into it, he was very good. We're sort of painting over. It's like, oh, he was very good last year. He's very good. A 1.68 ERA, a 1.85 FIP, which is sort of like, he was as good as advertised. It wasn't smoke and mirrors. Basically didn't walk anybody. K for 9 of almost 12. Tons of strikeouts. You know, the splitter, basically as good as Jonah pointed out. Basically, he basically has a better splitter than Kevin Gausman. The slider's right there as well. Three pitches that get swing and miss. So, you know, as long as it stays put together, whatever he has put together here, you hope for it. But I can't stop shaking the feeling of, like, you're supposed to create and find the Swansons, not trade your all-star outfielders for them. It's sort of like that belief. So that's that deal. There is some rumblings that this leads to them talking about outfielders. We've heard some rumblings that one of the three catchers is on the block. St. Louis has come up an awful lot about that. Lars Nootbaar has been one of the names. And then today they were in on the hey, they've been talking to Brandon Nimmo thing popped up about half an hour after everyone was mad at them about Teoscar. So I don't think that's a coincidence. We'll see about the Nimmo thing. They are talking.
Certainly would help.
They're talking and positioning themselves awful strongly that they're going to acquire a left-handed outfielder. Like, the people in the know are sort of saying, without saying, like, they're going to get a left-handed outfielder, whether that be Conforto, who hasn't played in a year, or Nimmo, who would turn into a very good center fielder, but has had some injury health things, and center fielder coming into Rogers Center with health issues is always a dangerous thing. We'll see where it leads and who it gets to, but certainly not done. They've certainly said and acted as if they aren't done, because this would not be the final move of the outseason. And now the outfield depth chart, after going from, like, there's no real space out here, they keep going to get nobodies, it's Springer, and then it's Gurriel, and then it drops off pretty quick. You got they cut Tapia, they cut Zimmer. You're looking at Biggio, Merrifield out there as your 3-4.
Yeah,
Nathan Lucas.
You know, I think this is my problem with a move like this, is it all hinges on what it becomes. And I guess you can say that about a lot of trades, but like we said, the timing of this one and the positioning in the offseason make it a lot harder, and the fact that Teoscar obviously makes it a lot harder to swallow, in the sense that, like, yeah, if they end this offseason acquiring Nimmo and Brantley, then fine. Then it's like, okay, now you have replaced most of that production, and you have left-handed bats that diversify your lineup, and you've added to the pen. Okay, fine. But we have seen this Blue Jays front office so many times be like, this is what we're looking for, and then it's like we end up with Ian Happ and, like, Ian Kennedy.
I take Ian Happ right now. Yeah.
I don't know. To replace Teoscar?
Well, you're not going to get a one-for-one replacement. It just doesn't.
No, you're not. But if they end up with Nimmo in something, then, you know, I still don't like it, but I can live with it. And yeah.
You still have some starting pitching need. Anyway,
yeah, it's hard to, you know, if you want to do like trade grades or whatever, it's hard to trade grade this one until we know what's coming.
Yeah, Seattle can walk away laughing, but it's going to have to be a part of a bigger thing. Yeah.
At the moment, it's hard to look at this as anything but a not great move.
Yeah, sucks. I'm not happy. I'm sad to hear. I'm sad to hear that Teoscar Hernandez is moving on, and I'm not going to do the, like, we wish him the best in Seattle things. I don't believe in that.
No, absolutely not.
I hope he doesn't play well in Seattle. Are you crazy?
I hope he plays badly and they re-sign him on the cheap the year after.
I hope he plays poorly and Seattle plays poorly. Seattle quickly making ground up in the, like, whoa, there's a rivalry here.
Yeah. Also, yeah, the fact that he went to the team that just kind of embarrassed us is also not great.
Not great. We'll be back later on this week. We'll talk a little bit bigger picture about what we're doing, what the offseason has looked like, and we'll dream on some guys. Now we have more space to put guys into, so we will do that on the weekend. We'll talk to you then. In the meantime, thanks so much for jumping back on here with us. It's been tons of fun. And thank you so much for listening to Less Than Jays.